Hey everybody, I'm glad you're still here at 3:15. It's getting tiring after a long day. My name is Tim Rodwell. I'm at the Division of International Health at UC San Diego, and I've been studying TB, bovine tuberculosis, since about the 1990s, and human tuberculosis in the last 3 or 4 years. What I'm here to talk to you today about is human tuberculosis from Mycobacterium bovis, which is a little bit unusual and not seen very many places outside of San Diego. I have no relationships, no conflict of interest to disclose, given the current financial situation just as well, because it probably wouldn't help. So etiology of TB, we've already had a little bit of a review of this, so I'm going to go through really fast. I'm going to move fairly quickly through most things, so if you blink and miss one of the slides, just if there's anything you want to know, just come ask me after, I'd be happy to talk about it. TB infectious disease, most human TB, and most animal TB actually, is caused by what's known as the tuberculosis complex, which is Mycobacterium tuberculosis. In most human cases are caused by Mycobacterium tuberculosis, and most animal cases are caused by Mycobacterium bovis. Both, however, do cross over and infect the other as well. As we've heard, TB in the United States has been doing very well. Since the 1990s, it's been on a general decline, and it's currently at its lowest incidence ever recorded, which is excellent news. Now, good news is not a good way to get good funding, so we have to look at some of the bad news. The bad news is California. 7.5, the incidence is 7.5 per 100,000. So that's almost double what the national incidence is. And one of the reasons for this, as we've heard from one of the previous talks by Dr. Garfin, is most likely, almost certainly, our relationship with the border states to the south of us, which have very much higher incidence than their own country national average. California and Texas, 7.5 and 6.3 incidences are the two highest incidences of tuberculosis in the entire U.S. So what about San Diego, here, down here, and how you might feel on the bus as you're riding around? TB incidence in San Diego is 9 per 100,000. So we're talking about it's even higher than California's incidence of 7.5 and over double the national average of 4.4. Other things that are unusual about San Diego, it's different from the rest of the U.S. in many ways. One of the other ways is in the population of who's infected with tuberculosis. 70% of San Diego TB cases are foreign-born. Now that's relative to about 54% in the rest of the U.S. Another thing that's kind of important about San Diego and it's different in San Diego is that 54% foreign-born in the rest of the U.S. has been slowly building over the last 10 years. San Diego, it's kind of always been there. It's always been about 70%. A good majority have always been foreign. But what I'm here to talk about today is something that came out of a 2003 study by a CDC expert, Phil LeBoux. He found that 6.6% of the TB cases in San Diego actually came from Mycobacterium bovis, not Mycobacterium tuberculosis. And that was a large surprise at the time. This is relative to 1.4% anywhere in the rest of the U.S. Essentially, Mycobacterium bovis is a disease of antiquity, so it was a surprise to see 6% in a U.S. state. So isn't that a cow disease? The answer is yes and no. The history of M. bovis and its interaction with humans as a zoonotic disease almost, it's been known basically since roughly the 1800s that something was up. Cattle wasting disease was associated with scrofula in humans, which is essentially a tuberculosis infection of the lymph nodes in the neck. It took about 100 years to figure out what was going on, and what was going on is that there was basically tuberculosis in the cows being passed mostly through milk into humans. Looking back, they've estimated that probably human TB from M. bovis was about 12 to 30% of all TB at that time throughout the world. And the way it was happening was mostly starting with cattle infections. So it's originally a cattle disease, a domestic disease. And it can be passed to other cattle through milk to calves. It can be passed to humans through milk consumption and direct contact. Humans can pass it to humans, although it's quite controversial and hasn't been recorded very often. And humans can even pass it back to cattle. So in the 1920s and 30s, they did two major things, public health interventions, probably two of the most effective interventions in many diseases. And that's they started milk pasteurization and what's known as the test and slaughter policy. Milk pasteurization essentially sterilized the milk, killed all the bovis, not to mention a number of other diseases, just killed it in the milk and essentially took that out as a mechanism of transmission. Test and slaughter policy basically said every single cow that we ever find in a herd that's got tuberculosis, it's out of the herd. Not only that, but kill the entire herd. Doing those two things together, they essentially wiped out Mycobacterium bovis as a significant cause of TB, first in Europe and then in the United States and in most developed countries. And so what we are left with is in developed countries, TB from M. bovis is less than 2%, probably around about 1.4%, it's estimated in the US. But what about developing countries? Almost impossible to know because they don't culture their TB. If you don't culture the TB, you don't know what species is causing it. So it's probably 8, 15, 20%, it could be as high as that, but the truth is we just don't know. So what's going on in San Diego? That's where basically we were trying to figure out. So we had three objectives. First was to determine the trends in Mycobacterium bovis. It's a significant problem if it's 6%. So we wanted to get a sense of whether it's just starting, just ending, turning, going flat, getting worse. Second thing, we wanted to look at some of the risk factors. So for the trends, we looked at 1994 to 2005. And then we also wanted to look at some of the risk factors correlated to M. bovis infections, trying to get a better sense of what are the things that make an M. bovis patient an M. bovis patient. And then finally, we wanted to get a sense of determining whether or not TB from M. bovis correlated with increased treatment mortality. Now that would be, if anybody just said that statement even 10 years ago, it'd be highly controversial statement. M. bovis, in most of the literature, is actually thought to be meant to be a less virulent disease and a less serious form of tuberculosis. However, in the 2003 study, there was some preliminary evidence that showed that the TB cases from M. bovis were dying at a higher rate during treatment. So we wanted to take a more serious look at that. So the design that we used was a retrospective study, San Diego County TB surveillance data, essentially what we looked at. For the M. bovis trends, we looked at data from 94 to 2005, and we used Poisson regression to look at trends in cases, and we used chi-square test for trend to look at proportion of cases being caused by bovis versus regular TB. For risk factor analysis, we looked at multiple logistic regression, and for the treatment mortality analysis, we did the same thing. So the trends, again, 1994 to 2005, we looked at over 3,000 cases of human TB. All of these are culture-proven cases, so we know that they're definitely TB, and we know exactly what species there are. M. bovis accounted for 45% of all culture-proven TB cases in those years, and 6% of all adult cases. The trends we split apart between TB from M. tuberculosis and TB from M. bovis. TB cases from M. tuberculosis over the last decade have been declining in a non-linear fashion, while at the same time TB cases from M. bovis have been increasing at about 4% per year. Looking at M. bovis as a proportion of overall TB cases, and the reason you do this is to sort of, it's a way almost of controlling. Well, if there's something changing with all TB cases, it should also be happening to M. bovis cases. So if you control for that by looking at the proportion of M. bovis cases in the whole TB set, you look at it, the number of cases or the proportion of cases when we started the study in 1994 to the end of the study 2005, and it moved essentially from 5% of all TB cases to 11% of all TB cases. Risk factor analysis we only looked at from 2001 to 2005. Essentially, at the time we did the study, it was the last 5 years that were available. Over 96% of the M. bovis cases were found in individuals of Hispanic ethnicity. 60% of the M. bovis TB cases occurred in individuals that were known to be born in Mexico. Of the final logistic regression model, a number of factors were correlated and strongly correlated, but the things to probably take home from this are the few that I've noted here. First, most M. bovis cases were in young people, 5 to 14 years of age. Hispanic ethnicity was obviously a very strong factor correlated with M. bovis TB versus regular TB. Again, this is M. bovis TB versus regular TB, not just M. bovis in general. Other things that were importantly correlated with in a strong way were clinical factors that are specific to M. bovis disease that are actually quite different from regular pulmonary TB. And those are extrapulmonary disease, in other words, disease outside of the lungs, meaning they probably didn't get it through their lungs. Had an adjusted odds ratio of 4.51. They had normal chest x-rays. There was nothing. If they came in to see you, you wouldn't have seen anything in their chest x-ray. It would have looked normal. And multi-site disease. They had disease in other organs, multiple organs all over the body. The treatment or mortality analysis, same thing, 2001 to 2005. We looked at about 1,000 cases that were treated in that time, and there were 110 deaths during treatment. We were looking again at San Diego surveillance data. We weren't looking at mortality data. We're just looking at the people that the surveillance group monitors during treatment. So these are people that actually died during the time that they should have been being treated. 110 died. 19 died with bovis and 91 died with M. tuberculosis. Taking a look at all of those factors and look at the factors that are most strongly correlated with mortality, the thing that I'd like most to take home is that M. bovis was essentially strongly correlated with mortality. So after accounting for HIV, age, clinical things like more severe disease, etc., Mbova still stood out as a strong factor to be associated with mortality. So what is it about Mbovis that was associated with mortality? So as a summary, TB from bovis in San Diego County, California, has the highest proportion of TB from Mbovis in the developed world. And that's in the available in the literature today. Mbovis cases are increasing in absolute number as a proportion of all TB cases and relative to the population. So the population is taken into account in those trend calculations. Mbovis TB is common in Hispanic children under age of 15 from Mexico, mostly with extrapulmonary TB. Mbovis TB patients are more than twice as likely to die before treatment completion than M. tuberculosis patients, after accounting for age, gender, HIV, etc. So the big question, and basically what this talk is about, which is about the globalization and the fact this is a re-emerging disease, is where the heck is it all coming from? So if you look at the possible transmission factors, if you remember the picture of the cow and the people, we look at basically at the evidence supporting human-to-human transmission, and we look at evidence supporting human or cattle-to-human transmission via dairy. Evidence supporting human-to-human transmission is that between 2001 and 2005, 50% or 54% actually of the San Diego bovis cases actually did have pulmonary lesions. So they had lesions that they could have basically coughed onto somebody else. So there is certainly there was a mechanism open for human-to-human transmission. Human-to-human transmission is considered somewhat controversial in bovis. However, it's certainly been documented to occur, and it's certainly known to occur, most recently in the UK, 2007. During that case, there was actually not very much contact. It was actually at a disco that they were contacted and managed to spread it in that way. However, if you look at the bovis cases, what turns out to be stronger than the human-to-human transmission is evidence of the cattle-to-human transmission via dairy. In bovis cases, 4.5 times more likely to have extrapulmonary TB. In other words, they didn't get it from the lungs. They probably didn't get it from another person. It's possible, but very unlikely. Historically, M. bovis is known to exist and be spread by milk. It's been very well documented. It's known to occur. No children in our study under 1 year of age had M. bovis. We had lots of children under 1 year of age. Not one of them had M. bovis. They did have M. tuberculosis. And one of the things that's been suggested about that is any child under the age of one hasn't yet been weaned in Mexico. In other words, would be unlikely to be exposed to dairy products at that time. And the final piece of evidence about supporting cattle-to-human transmission via dairy is the data I showed earlier about the trends. This is essentially showing by having a reduction of M. tuberculosis cases in San Diego County, it means that their control program is working. They're basically taking infectious people out of the pool. They're identifying infectious people early. They're putting them into quarantine. They're treating them. It's working. It's going down. However, at the same time, M. bovis is going up. This would suggest that it has a different mechanism, or else it should also be going down, or at least be controlled. So the question is it the cheese? And if it is the cheese, where's the cheese coming from? So M. bovis and U.S. cattle, could it be U.S. cheese? Could it be U.S. milk? It seems incredibly unlikely. Test and eradication in this country began in 1917 and has been aggressively pursued. And you can ask any farmer in California how aggressively, because their herds are once they find TB. M. bovis in U.S. cattle is extremely rare, and even if it was found, most milk products in the U.S. are pasteurized, so they would kill it even if it was there. And just to give you a few examples, 2002, less than 0.02% of the cattle tested were positive for TB. More recently, in 2007, only 3 TB positive cattle were found in 800,000 cattle tested. And most of those cattle, not most of them, all of those cattle, those 3 infected cattle, actually came from Mexico, not from the U.S. California has been considered essentially bovine TB-free, in the cattle anyway, since 2005. What about M. bovis in Mexico? 13% of the Mexican dairy herds are infected with M. bovis in some regions of Mexico. It's unfortunate that most of those regions are actually large dairy production regions. 30% of the milk produced in Mexico is consumed unpasteurized. Queso fresco, which if any of you have had any of it in San Diego, I won't even talk about that if you had it already. But if you're thinking about going down there and having it, queso fresco is made from unpasteurized milk products. It's incredibly popular, and it's something that's consumed across the entire of Mexico. And what about thinking about how it might come into this country? First thing, up to 50 pounds of queso fresco, for example, can be imported into the United States for personal use. And it is, on a daily basis. M. bovis in 2007 was found in queso fresco seized at the border, coming through the border. M. bovis was found there. So essentially, we know that it exists in the cattle, we know that it exists in the milk, we know it exists in the cheese, and we know the cheese is coming over. And that leads me to my conclusion. TB from M. bovis is a locally re-emerging disease. The majority of cases are foreign-born, and most of those cases are from Mexico. Eliminating TB due to M. bovis is going to take not the same kind of things that we're doing here. It's going to take an educational outreach that is slightly different than regular TB and controlling regular TB. But most importantly, it's going to take binational strategies. This is absolutely not something we can fix in San Diego. This is something we're going to have to fix by working with our partners in Mexico. And it's something that our TB program here has been doing for a long time. Finally, the Latino community in San Diego is growing rapidly. 20 to 29% of the population in the last decade, and will likely play an increasingly large role in San Diego TB epidemiology over the next few decades. So this is something we absolutely have to include in our future plans. And that's all. Acknowledgements. Thank you very much for NIDA, which was a funder, as well as the California HIV/AIDS Research Program and UCSD.
Thank you very much. Our next presentation will take us to a different continent. David Luo and June Sangarlankar are going to talk about control of tuberculosis using community-based primary health care in India.
Thank you, Carol.
Sure.
Uh,